We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschelson, and we've got a great show for you today. The topic of today's conversation, of course, what else, will be the George Flynn affair. We'll be talking with the Detroit representative from ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, Carolyn Normandine. What should we be responding, and how should we be responding? In the second half of the show, we'll be talking about the portion of the week, which is the portion of Bahalosecha, which can be found in Numbers chapter 8 and following. We've got a wonderful assortment of Jewish music throughout the show. We have a great story, a Hasidic story at the end, very poignant. And before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. This week's attempted terrorist attacks, two men tried to stab IDF soldiers north of Jerusalem. Soldiers shot and killed the two. A man tried to pepper spray and stab soldiers near Ramallah. He was shot and killed by IDF soldiers. A riot broke out in that area with Palestinians throwing rocks and firebombs at soldiers. Soldiers used tear gas and other crowd-dispersing methods. One man tried to stab border police in Jerusalem. He was shot and taken into custody. Israeli aircraft struck targets in the Syrian city of Masyaf, just north of Lebanon, where the Assad regime maintains a technology center used for weapons development. The Austrian was moved to Europe. The Austrian parliament unanimously passed a resolution calling on the Austrian government to take action against terrorist activities and supporters of Hezbollah. Yay! Norway will withhold funding to Palestine over textbooks, it says, promote hate and violence. That's about time. In COVID news in Israel, the Knesset was shut down on Thursday after a lawmaker from the Arab Joint List announced that he had tested positive for the coronavirus. It is not sure when the Knesset will reopen. The whole government shut down. 42 schools across Israel that were open 2 weeks ago closed due to a spike in corona cases. Likewise, the Israeli Interior Ministry canceled visas for unmarried foreign students. There were 5 corona deaths in Israel this week. Turning to America, Congregation Beth Israel in Los Angeles was vandalized with anti-Semitic graffiti during race riots in protest of the killing of George Floyd. The incident was filmed on security by security cameras. Vandals ransacked the Kol Yehuda Sephardic congregation, a small Montreal synagogue. Torah scrolls were destroyed, and talisim and tefillin were stuffed into toilets. And finally, rabbis can now be military chaplains in the German military for the first time since they were kicked out by the Nazis in the 1930s. There are about 300 Jewish soldiers serving in the German army. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Thinman here. Let's start off with a little music. This is new guy on the block, Shmulik Frank. Hopes to be a superstar one day. Yes. The song is called Shechen Ad, which is it's taken from the liturgy, and I'm really surprised that there haven't been any major players to do a song entitled Shechen Ad Maron V'Kadosh Shemai, that he dwells on high, is taken from the words of our Shabbat, Sabbath morning prayers. Let's listen.
Tzadikim v'ashem la'yishorim ovosem yilom Yabbay la'ya, Yabbay la'ya, Yabbay la'ya, Yabbay la'ya, Yabbay la'ya, Tzadikim b'shem la'yishorim ovosem yilom
Compass Healthcare, specializing in infectious diseases, is joining the fight against coronavirus, offering free direct telemedicine services to Oakland County residents who test positive for coronavirus and are homebound. We are on a mission to intervene with supportive care to diminish your risk of hospitalization. If you know anyone that could benefit from these services, please call 248-624-9800 immediately.
Herschel Thinman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Are you one of the unfortunates who are showing signs, or do you know somebody who has symptoms of COVID? Contact the Encompass at 248-624-9800, and Dr. Rubin will take care of you. He's a good guy. We have On the line, Carol Normandin from the Detroit chapter of the Anti-Defamation League, ADL as it's known. We're talking about what everybody else is talking about, George Floyd. How are you today, Carolyn?
I'm okay, Rabbi. How are you?
Good, thank God. I am actually doing well. Okay, so it's a terrible thing. It's a tragedy. And there's not a whole lot of room for discussion to justify what happened in Minnesota. But then comes, what should our response be? So what response has the ADL formulated?
Well, thank you for asking. You're right. It's a terrible, terrible situation. And we know it was coming because George Floyd died after countless others. And we have developed some sort of a nonchalance about this, and we cannot do that. And as Jews, we know that when you're targeted over and over again, people get tired of hearing that. That's why it's incumbent upon us as Jews to not stand down. You know, people across the country have been coming together to march for justice, to speak out against systemic racism, and ADL has added our voice locally and nationally to the discussion. We've worked with our partners at the Coalition for Black and Jewish Unity to issue a strong statement on Monday, and you can see that at ADL.org, michigan.adl.org. We've also been spending a lot of time listening this week, because we are Jewish and we know how it feels to be targeted, but there are a lot of Jews who are not Black. There are many who are, but the Jews that are not Black also have to make sure that we don't lead, we follow in terms of what people of color are saying. We stand with them and not lead them.
Why is that important, Carolyn?
I think it's really important that we understand that we don't have all the answers. I've often said to my team that anti-Semitism isn't a problem for Jewish. It isn't a Jewish problem. It's a problem for Jews. And I think racism isn't a Black problem, it's a problem for Black people. We have to remember that while we can empathize, we also don't know exactly what it's like to live that. So you have to really, really work to stand in the shoes of somebody, but recognize that you don't have all the answers. And that's why it's important to listen as well as talk. At ADL, it's always been part of our mission to fight anti-Semitism, that's for sure. But we also fight for security and equal treatment to all. And that's why we have to ask people what they need in this time.
Okay. So what have people been telling you? First of all, what type of... I don't want to say who you have. I don't necessarily need names, but the people with whom you're at, you've been asking, what organizations do they represent, or what people do they represent, and what do they say they need?
So I've been on a number of forums and listening. We certainly have been working with the Coalition for Black and Jewish Unity, JCRCA, JC for sure. I've reached out to friends and colleagues at the NAACP and other African American organizations. We've done that nationally as well. Jonathan Greenblatt has been having conversations with leaders from the Urban League and the NAACP and the Color Coalition and things like that. I think it's also important to reach out to legislators, which our team here in Michigan has done, to see what kinds of relationships we can continue to build. I think it's really, really important that we make sure that this can't be a moment in time, but we must make this a movement for all time. And this isn't the end of the discussion. This is the beginning of the discussion, because I think the nation is ripe for making change. And I think that change will be great for everyone. We need to always take equality and equal justice under law seriously.
Okay, our guest today is Carolyn Armandon from the Detroit chapter of the ADL. We're talking about George Floyd and the aftermath. I recently saw a presentation by a former leader of a white supremacist group, and he said the way that he would recruit people into his group is, he said, do you know why the blacks are the way that the blacks are? It's because of the Jews. Blacks aren't smart enough. It's the Jews. So how is it then, this is actually a two-point, this is my question is sort of like double-pronged, rather a long question. When I was growing up in Newark, we were one of two families that lived on the block. There were two families that were white on the neighborhood. And during the 67 riots, we had National Guard sleeping on our lawn. My mother, who was a very liberal person, said that the blacks have forgotten about the marches in Selma and how the Jews helped the Jews back in the 50s and the 60s. And there was this, there's developed a schism in the black community. And we did see that there was a race riot in Crown Heights in 1991. So what, my question is, like, I've got a bunch of questions coming out of this bit of information, is why does this now become something that Jews have to get involved with? And does the black community really want us there this time, or they want to take their own deal and they want, this is our problem and we're going to do it ourselves? And thank you very much for Heschel and Martin Luther King.
Thank you for asking that question. That is a question that's been in a lot of discussions that I've had this week. First of all, I think as Jews, it is incumbent upon us to always stand up for justice to everyone. No Jew is safe until everyone is safe. It's, you know, you can go back to Hillel, you can go back to many of our teachings that remind us that we must stand up. We cannot be bystanders. We must be upstanders. So from a traditional standpoint, I'm not a rabbi like you, but I think from my living and breathing my Judaism, it's always about healing the world. So that's number one. It's our obligation. In terms of how we stand with our friends of color, I think it's really important to listen and to offer our help. I've been in many discussions, and in fact, the Coalition for Black and Jewish Unity yesterday had a really, really great forum. It was, the panelists were all black bishops and pastors, and there was no back and forth dialogue. It was them talking and everyone on the webinar listening. So I think that's part of the discussion. That's part of the way we move forward, really put ourselves in the shoes of people and offer our help. And then in terms of action, we have to stand by and our friends in this fight. And many of them are white. Many, you know, to your mom's point, it's absolutely true that African Americans work together with Jews, and Jews work together with African Americans to do things like push through the 1965 Voting Rights Act and other types of civil rights of legislation. And that's where the rubber meets the road.
Civil Rights Act, yes.
Absolutely where the rubber meets the road. I also think we don't have to walk away from our Judaism to do that. Shabbat starts tonight. And ADL has pushed forward this week this idea of Justice Shabbat. And as Jewish tradition, it includes sitting around a Shabbat table and thinking about the issues of the day. We need to think about this and talk to ourselves about this and others about this. And I'll refer you to the website that michigan.adl.org and look for the hashtag Justice Shabbat. And there are all kinds of resources about how to start conversations and how to listen.
Okay. Our guest again today is Carolyn Normandin from the Detroit chapter of the Anti-Defamation League, the ADL. We're talking about the George Flynn and its aftermath. Well, people have been telling me, and they've been debating with me, well, what about George Flynn? He was a lifelong criminal. He was found to have illegal drugs in his system. He was arrested for doing something illegal. Why should he be the martyr for this cause, when there are other people who are totally innocent? And okay, nobody deserves to die, and everybody agrees that to be executed in the street is not, without due process, is definitely not the way to go. But George Flynn doesn't seem to be the guy who should be the poster boy for this one.
That's a tough statement. I think where I come from it is, and by the way, ADL has called for, among others, a quick and thorough and transparent investigation into the whole situation. And I know that prosecutors have the entire nation and in fact the world watching. But I also think that George Floyd is one of many, countless numbers of people of color who have been targeted, and systematic racism in this country cannot be denied. And it's not always at the hands of police. Trayvon Brown was at the hands of vigilantes. Ahmaud Arbery was jogging and was hunted down by people in a pickup truck. It's not always law enforcement, but we look to law enforcement to set the standards. And so we must hold people accountable. And if this is the particular incident that causes the country to be mobilized, to be able to really start thinking about systemic racism in this country, then that's a good thing. And maybe that's what we need to concentrate on now. I also think that you mentioned, you know, there are people at demonstrations that are white supremacists that, you know, are saying a lot of things. I think we need to make sure that we don't confuse the situation. There are certainly people that are exploiting this incident to be able to move their own agendas. And the really strong extremist groups are at play here. But we can't let that obfuscate the fact that everyone must have due process in this law, in this country. And we have to help make sure that that happens.
Okay. Now, when you talk about due process, so we recall Rodney King, when those police officers were acquitted, the result was people went and rioted again. Can these police officers get a fair trial in America, or is every jury going to say, listen, if we, you know, especially Minnesota, and if we find these guys guilty, then they're going to be rioting in the streets in Minnesota and all over the world again?
I don't know the answer to that. I was listening this morning to a program, and it was talking about the incident that happened in Missouri, and as well as the one in Minnesota. And I think we are a nation of laws. We must make sure that we watch over and be the safeguarders of the Constitution and the laws that we have in our state. I think also we have to endorse really strong principles, and the leadership conference for civil and human rights has come up with 8 different things, principles that we feel like we must make sure happens. For example, require a federal standard that the use of force be reserved for only when necessary and as a last resort after exhausting reasonable options. And I wasn't there, but the footage I've seen of the George Floyd situation does not seem that's happened. I think a man who is handcuffed on the ground does not need his neck kneeled on.
Knelt upon, yeah.
We need to prohibit all maneuvers that restrict the flow of blood to a person's oxygen in their brain. The other things that the Leadership Conference for Civil and Human Rights suggest is eliminate federal programs that provide military equipment to law enforcement. And we could talk for a long, long time about that, and I'm not the right person to do that. Law enforcement is. But some of these reform bills include prohibit racial profiling, develop a national database that would compile the names of officers who've had their licenses revoked. I mean, when you look at the case of George Floyd, at least the main officer in this, former officer, has had many, many complaints against him. So I think in order to make sure that we don't have public outcry after a verdict is read, we need to make sure that we have instilled in our guidelines for law enforcement and in our legislative bodies, instilled the laws that create more robust guidelines and laws.
Okay, let me ask you, okay, speculatively, how likely is that to come from the top, given the nature of the federal government? And I ask that question as one of the chaplains of the Ferndale police force that they went and asked me to join specifically because of the reform that has happened on a grassroots basis in Ferndale, where they have an inclusion network and the police are out in the streets and there's all kinds of dialogue and talking, and there's the whole philosophy of policing has changed in Ferndale. I'm not so sure this is something that's going to happen from the top, but it's going to have to happen with every single police force in America, Carolyn Normandin.
I think you're right, Rabbi. And it has to happen not only nationally, top down, and who knows when that will happen, but it also has to happen at a grassroots level. And I'm a firm believer that you build relationships one-on-one, looking people into their eyes. ADL has been a longtime member of ALPACT, which is a community policing and public relations, public community forum. And I know that there are many law enforcement officers that are taking this very seriously. And I really, really applaud the actions of individual police forces or even the National Guard when they join protesters in making gestures of respect and solidarity. This is really important. We will not get to the end goal, making sure that this doesn't happen in our country, or at least putting place guards in our systems that make sure we do everything in our power to see that it doesn't happen. But I think groups and individuals who share ideals are important, and we need to include law officers in these discussions, and we need to make sure that we work with the precincts and the stations and the sheriff's departments that are doing the right thing, and that we hold the ones that are not doing the right thing accountable.
Indeed. That's going to wrap us up for it. Thank you so much for taking the time, Carolyn Normandin, from the Detroit chapter of the Anti-Defamation League, the ADL. We've been talking about the aftermath of the George Floyd fiasco, whatever noun you'd like attached to it. And please keep us apprised of any future developments, North Carolyn.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you for letting me come on today. I wish everyone a Shabbat Shalom. Please use this Shabbat and every other Shabbat to talk about tolerance and solidarity, unity within our communities and in our country. And I really appreciate you, Rabbi, for taking this tough, tough discussion on.
That's what we're here for. Thank you so much. We are going to take a quick commercial break, and we will be right back. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Time for a little music. Let's change the tone. I hate when it gets heavy. So this is Ari Hill. He's a young Israeli who... I like his voice. This is really good. I like this. It's very melodious. Very calming, this song, I guess. It's a Hebrew title. It's translated into My Father is with Me, E.T.
כל העולם גשר צר והעיקר לא לפחד כלל, לא לפחד כלל. דע לך בני 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 שבכל מצב שהוא הבית שבכל מצב שהוא הביתי אפיל אבן סיד שוורים דיווייסט דנתת אשתית מביר וינות דיגאי אפיל אבן סיד שוורים דיווייסט דנתת
אפילו אבן סיד שוורים דיווייסט
Cherry Hill, Abba Iti, My Father's With Me. Up next, this is Menachem Weinstein. There's people getting married now since Sfira is over, and during the Sfira time between Passover and Shavuos, the feast of the Pentecost, Jews refrain from getting married. We talked about that during that time. So now people are getting married again. So up next is Menachem Weinstein. This is Mi Adir. This is sung at the beginning of every Jewish wedding.
Mi Adir al hakol, Mi Baruch al hakol, Mi Gadol al hakol, Dagul al hakol, Uyevarech et echatam, V'et hakala, Uyevarech et echatam, V'et hakala.
We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and Methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community. And Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813. Or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. This week in the synagogue, and a lot of synagogues are actually open, we will, of course, with social distancing and masks and lots of hand sanitizers and sanitizing wipes and lots of precautions. But they will be reading in the synagogue this week the portion of Behalosecha. It's one of the harder portions to pronounce. Behalosecha. It's Numbers chapter 8. There is a bunch of things in it, and we're going to go right to the end of the portion. The end of the portion, there Moses was instructed, Moses complained, I can't deal with these people by myself. So God said, okay, choose 70 elders. So it's fine. How do they choose 70 elders? Well, you got 12 tribes. 12 goes into 70, not evenly. So they had, it's like, it's 5 remainder, 12 remainder, 11 remainder, 5. So, 50 remainder, 5, whatever. There was a remainder. Two people couldn't be. They needed 72. So they needed 6 from every tribe, but there's going to be 5 from 2 tribes, or 2 people weren't. So they made a whole lottery about it. The people submitted their names, 6 from every tribe, and 2 people gave up their opportunity. They decided, we're not going to participate. Thank you for the offer, but we're backing out. We don't want anybody else to feel bad that they didn't get to participate. And what happened with them, those 2 people, Eldad and Medad, we even know their names, they started prophesizing. And they prophesized that Moses was going to die in outside of Israel, and Joshua was going to take over, and there's going to be 40 years of wandering in the desert. The word got around that there's somebody else prophesizing besides Moses. And Miriam, Moses' sister, was sitting next to Zipporah, Moses' wife. And Zipporah let out a groan. She said, oh, no. She said, what's the matter? She said, well, now their wives will be left at home by themselves. Miriam said to Zipporah, what are you talking about? She said, since Moses was at the burning bush, he has never come home. He said, what? That's not right. That's not Judaism. We don't do this kind of stuff. And so she went, told Aaron what their little brother was doing, and then stormed off in a huff, as a big sister would do, with righteous indignation, and started chastising her little brother, her baby brother. He might have been Moses, but to Miriam, he's still a baby brother. I know, I have older sisters, and as old as I get, I still have older sisters, and I'm still the little brother. God, good to have God on your side, God intervenes and said, Miriam, mind your own business. And he smacked her Miriam was smacked with a skin disease, and she had to move outside of the camp, as was discussed way back in the middle of the book of Leviticus, what happens when a person would break out in these white spots. And the Jewish people waited for Miriam a whole week until she was cleansed, until the spots went away. That's the story. What relevance does this have for us today? Because we know that the Torah is not a history book. It's not a story book. This isn't fables. This isn't a bedtime story for children. This is a lesson for us. And it has appropriate lessons for the time that we are currently living in. Everybody needs care and compassion. Zipporah was indeed a victim. And Miriam's compassion should have been in helping Zipporah in whichever way she could. She looked at it as being as going on the attack. Not necessarily as going on the attack, going to achieve your goals. There are protests going on, and people want to credit that the protests in 138 cities have upped it such that policeman was, instead of being charged with third-degree murder, is now charged with second-degree murder, and that there are, that the 3 other officers were also charged as accomplices to the fact, and maybe it was, but maybe it's not. I'm just putting it out there. I'm not saying yes or no. This is not necessarily my opinion. I'm not one for protests. My first and only protest that I think I participated in, maybe I participated in protests after that, when I was in 9th grade, Maplewood Junior High School, there was a protest over the dress code. The kids, these are, 7th, 8th, and 9th graders, the most obnoxious bunch of kids you ever want to meet, and they were all from a middle-class neighborhood and up. And they wanted to change the dress code that girls should be allowed to wear halter tops and boys should be allowed to wear athletic tees. to T-shirts to school. And there was a protest in front of the vice principal's office. Now, in ninth grade, I was 6'5". And all the other ninth graders are like 5'2". So I was just kind of standing there. And I didn't care one way or the other because I wasn't going to wear an athletic tee. And I didn't care if a girl wore a halter top. It didn't mean anything to me. And who got pulled out? Me. Why? Because they could see me. So I've kept a low profile when it comes to protests and doing things on that type of a scale where I don't want to be singled out. I don't want to be the one who says, well, look at that guy. You know, he's the one who's making all the problems. So maybe now it's time for the healing to start. Maybe it's time now for people to start acting like mention. I have been saying for I don't know how long, people are essentially the same barbarians they were 5,000 years ago. They just have a more sophisticated way of doing it. And indeed, it's one of the things that Mashiach is looking for is that people get together. It says that the reason why the Second Temple was destroyed was because of baseless hatred. People hated each other for no reason. And the cure that we were told then, 2,000 years ago, is to get the world back to the way it's really supposed to be. In the world of a messianic era is when people will live together as one. And it's not just something to imagine. It's something we all have to work on. And as the idea goes, is you have to love your fellow as yourself. It means you have to love yourself first, and then you have to show that to others. We are going to take a quick commercial break, and we will be right back with the Hasidic story. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Compass Healthcare, specializing in infectious diseases, is joining the fight against coronavirus, offering free direct telemedicine services to Oakland County residents who test positive for coronavirus and are homebound. We are on a mission to intervene with supportive care to diminish your risk of hospitalization. If you know anyone that could benefit from these services, please call 248-624-9800 immediately.
Hi, this is Spex Howard. The Spex Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Hey, Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? You got a question, a comment, criticism, something I said you didn't like? Ooh, I would love if somebody wrote me something that they didn't like. Rabbi, you did this wrong. Please, I'm ready. I had a talk with one of my daughters yesterday, and she said, I have to give you credit, Dad. You never back down. I'm always up for the challenge. So send me a letter, especially if it's something that you didn't like, because if you didn't like it and I happen to maybe agree with you, then the show gets to be better. So you'll be a better program. Listen, we've been on for 25 years, and I'm not doing the same thing I went or the same way that I did it 25 years ago. So it's an evolution. But Jews do believe in evolution to a certain point, and we want to make the show a better show, and that comes from your input. You'll also, if you want to really do like a sampling and do research over the progress, well, you can go to rabbifinman.com and click on the radio page, and you'll get many years of the radio show. You can have one of those binge listens, and let me know how that goes, and I'd like to hear about that, too. There's also classes. There's also ways in which we produce. There's a missive that I put on the website every week, some kind of insight. There's videos. And there's also the donation page. It's very important because without your donations, the Jewish Hour would not have been able to exist for 25 years doing what it's been doing, bringing quality programming to the Jewish community and the world at large. We've tried to keep cutting edge. We try to keep beyond the edge. We try to keep ahead of the curve, never mind flattening out a curve. we are the curve. We're just that's what we try to do. And one thing I've never been accused of is dribble. We're always trying to make it important, make it relevant. And in order to do that, we have to come up with the funds. And that's where you come in. We appreciate all that you've done till now. And so on the RabbiFinman.com, there's a donation page. It's very easy. It's painless. It's harmless. I've never had any complaints about how it goes. It's just, you wouldn't believe how easy it is. And you could even make it easier because it's through PayPal. If you have a PayPal account, then you can set up a monthly thing, and you don't even have to think about it. It just happens, and I think about it every time I get it. I have every month at different days of the month, people donate. They've designated which day of the month, and I acknowledge to them, thank you for your monthly donation, your continued support, et cetera, because we are greatly appreciated for the little bit that you're able to do. So go to Rabbi Finman, go on to donations, click a number, pick a number, donate today. If you do not like the idea of putting your telephone, your credit card number on the internet, fine. Go to drop your donation of any amount into an envelope and address it to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Okay, 1987. There was a court case involving ownership of the library, which was belonged to Chassidus Agudi Chabad, which belonged to the central organization of Lubavitch in New York City. We're not going to go into the details there, but on Hay Tavis of that year, which I'm not exactly sure the English date, it's like right after Hanukkah, and the judge said it belongs to the original owners. It doesn't belong to the claimants. And everybody was really happy. The next day, the Rebbe said, it is a very auspicious time, and if anybody has a request, I want them to please write it down and send it to me. And I will take it to my father-in-law's grave, and I will read your request there. The world went wild. I just found in Paris, they actually convinced Air France to give up three fax machines, because this was 1987, and these fax machines were running 24 hours nonstop, sending letters to the Rebbe to take to the Yael. And I was living, at the time I happened to be in Maplewood for that morning. I had been in 770 in the world headquarters when the announcement was made, and we decided we needed to go, we were going to go out of town, so we went to Maplewood to my mother's house, but we sent in a letter, my wife sent in a letter, my five-year-old daughter, Tzivia, sent in a letter, my three-year-old and my seventh-month-old were too young to send in letters, but maybe we put their names on something, that's for sure. In Australia, there was an active campaign. The person who was in charge of the active campaign went to his father-in-law and said, this is what is happening. It's an auspicious time. Now, he was a bitter Holocaust survivor. He was one of those people that were really upset. He lost his entire family. He lost his religiosity. He lost his belief in God. And when we're given this response, this request to write a letter to the Rebbe for a blessing from God, he said, where was God in Holocaust? Where was God in Auschwitz? I was in Auschwitz. But the son-in-law pleaded. I think the daughter got involved. And he says, okay, you know what? Tomorrow I'm going fishing. Ask, I should catch a good fish. So he sent him a letter. Okay, the next day, 6 o'clock in the morning, he woke up his daughter and handed her this massively large fish. She says, what's this? He said, I went out at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I started fishing. And I threw in my line and off the boat, and I caught a fish, and I caught another fish, and I caught another fish. And all the other people on the boat are saying, what are you doing over here? What's going on? They weren't catching anything. And there was an Italian trawler, which had nets out, wasn't catching anything. He told them what happened. He said, I asked for a blessing for a fish. So from that day on, he started going, Tony, if you could bring up the music behind me. I want to thank Tony for being there and putting himself, being a first responder, and making sure that information is conveyed around the world through our Salem Communications, who is the producer of our podcast. And thank you much, Tony. And so bring up the music a little bit behind me. And from that day on, he started going to synagogue and got more involved with Judaism. And when a little kid was heard saying, "Who's that guy?" And he said, "Oh, that's the guy who could have asked for anything, but he asked for a fish." That's going to do it. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. We hope to see you back again next week. Take care. La 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 la.